The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All
right. If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Jesus said, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. Question is, where was he going? Where was he going? Jesus said, follow me. But where was he going? The scripture says that Jesus said this, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The question is, where is Jesus going? He said, follow me. Well, we all know where he ended up, right? See, Jesus said, follow me. He said, come and die. Come and die. Come and die. And he stands on the other side of the grave and he says, follow me. Follow me. In other words, come and die. That's a message that's been lost to the Christian church for the most part. We talk about life enhancement. We talk about trying Jesus. Just try him out, you know, and if he doesn't work, throw him aside. It's like trying your favorite ice cream or whatever. Well, I don't think that's the right message. The message is of sacrifice. It should be anyway. See, it's fun to follow Jesus until you find out where he's going. And he's going to the grave, and he stands on the other side, and he says, follow me. That's the high calling that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that today. You see, this movement that I'm a part of is a subset of the Christian movement. The movement I'm talking about is the pro-life movement. And there's a lot of causes out there. In fact, on Facebook, there's about 500,000 causes. Some of them good, some of them not so good. In fact, there's a cause to end Facebook causes on Facebook, believe it or not. Truthfully, that is the case. 500,000,000 causes on Facebook, but none of them are true movements of God. And what separates the separates a movement from a cause? We're going to talk about that. There are three characteristics that separate a movement from a cause. And the first is this, that a movement purposely creates tension. It creates tension. Second, it sacrifices. The people sacrifice and are willing to invite persecution upon themselves for what they believe in. In fact, that's the glue that binds a movement together. And thirdly, the third characteristic of a movement is that it leaves a legacy. It leaves a legacy. So the first thing is that it creates tension. Now, Jesus said that I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He came to bring division, debate, and make people uncomfortable. So why? So they might think. They might think. Well, that's true of the pro-life movement as well. Making people uncomfortable so that they might think differently. I've shared this on the program before, but the best example of this is the parable of the persistent widow, which she comes to the judge over and over and over again, pleading her case for justice against her adversary, And finally, the judge says this, quote, in verse 5 of Luke chapter 18, because the widow troubles me, I will do what's right, and I will grant her legal protection. Because she bothered him, she granted legal protection. Or he granted legal protection. So a movement creates tension so that people might think differently. That's what we do at Created Equal. We use abortion victim photos and video to humanize the preborn who are made in the image of God, these image bearers, in order to create tension, to create debate about who the preborn are and whether we're made in the image of God or not. So the first characteristic of a movement is that it creates tension. The second characteristic of a movement is that it sacrifices or is willing to invite persecution upon its members for the greater cause of injustice. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their lives for their friends. There's no greater love. And the pro-life movement is a love movement. We don't do this for personal fame. We don't do this for money or material possessions or whatever the world would offer. We do this for them. The pro-life movement is the most sacrificial movement in world history because it's not our rights that we're representing or that we're trying to defend. We don't have anything to gain. We have no skin in this game for ourselves, unlike all the other movements, social action movements like the civil rights movement or anti-war movement. It was the victims or those who are being victimized who are representing themselves. It's unlike that in the pro-life movement. We're representing someone we'll never meet on this side of eternity. But we do it just the same, because we believe that everyone has the inalienable right to life, that we're created in God's image, and that it is a tragedy that a child would not be given the opportunity to live out its full potential that God has given them. That's the tragedy. It's about being born and being able to live out what God has given us all to do. We all have a purpose, and that is the tragedy of abortion, that it denies that opportunity for a young person to fulfill the mission and purpose of God in their lives. So a movement sacrifices. And the text that I typically go to for this is in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 22 through 27. It's where Paul is leaving Ephesus, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, and it says this. He says he's on his way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to him there, only that bonds and affliction await him. That's what he knew. It's the only thing he knew, that bonds and affliction await him. But he said that the reason he did this is because he would not be guilty of the blood, of the guilt of human blood, that he preached the whole counsel of God. That's why he did it. He was willing to sacrifice. He knew that his time was near, that he was going to pass on soon. And he was willing to sacrifice because he preached the whole counsel of God. I exhort you, if you're a pastor or a teacher, are you preaching the whole counsel of God to your people, to your congregation, to your small group, to your Sunday school? Are you? Well, if it doesn't include the prohibition against the shedding of innocent blood and the idea that the preborn child is created in the image of God, that we have an obligation, a duty, a responsibility before Almighty God to defend them in any way we can peacefully, then you're not preaching the whole counsel. You're just not. Folks, we need to be doing that. And I will just put in a personal plug here. If you're interested in having me come to your church and speak on this topic, go to createdequal.net and fill out a request form for me to come and share with your congregation the importance of defending the defenseless. Well, the third characteristic of a movement is that it leaves a legacy. It leaves a legacy. We know about that because we're all about raising up the next generation of leaders. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. All that I've commanded you. Discipling the nations means reaching the emerging generation. And frankly, we're not doing a very good job of that in the Christian church in America. In fact, if you look at the statistics, young people, when they transition from high school to college, somewhere around 80 to 90% walk away from the faith. We're losing our young people. Why? Because we're amusing them to death. We're entertaining them in church. We're not giving them purpose and meaning and vision so they can go out and make a difference for Jesus Christ in the culture in which we live. Young people are yearning for something to believe in, something that's bigger than themselves that they can invest their lives in. We provide that here at Created Equal. We do. With our justice rides, we take them out, we train them in the classroom briefly, and then we take them on the street. That's how they learn. And I say this, if your young person isn't doing that kind of ministry, then send them to us. Send them to Created Equal. We'll take them out and train them. And we'll put them in the game. We're doing that. One of the few people in the movement, one of the few groups, is actually giving them something effective to do. Now, in the book of 2 Timothy, we know the story of Timothy was the understudy of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul talks about how he was passing on the message to three and four generations. And he said, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, teach those to faithful men who can teach others also. There's a generational faithfulness that we need to abide by, that we need to be passing on our faith, transitioning from one generation to another, transferring the faith, the great transfer, I call it. That's what we do here at Created Equal. So to summarize, A movement creates tension, which helps them people to think differently. A movement sacrifices or is willing to be persecuted for Jesus Christ. And thirdly, a movement leaves a legacy behind. It's not about us. It's about that emerging generation. And we're doing that at Created Equal. Folks, I exhort you to send your young people our way. Go to createdequal.net. Or if you'd like to invite me to come speak to your church on a Sunday school or a Sunday morning or a midweek Bible study, feel free to contact us at createdequal.net. I won't blow up your church. I assure you, I won't do that. I will preach the whole counsel of God, which is needed. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show. Your loyal opposition and voice of resistance to tyranny and child killing. We'll be right back. Stick around.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
Just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
Yeah, baby. That's right. We're talking about love again. What it means to love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus mean when he said that? Loving your neighbor as yourself. That means being willing to create tension, if necessary, for the truth of the Word of God. That means raising up the next generation of leadership to leave a legacy. And it also means being willing to sacrifice, to lay down our lives for our friends, to invite persecution upon ourselves for the cause of Christ. Those are the three things that distinguish a movement from a cause. This great movement, the Christian movement, and the pro-life movement, I would say. That's what separates it. Now, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about what has recently happened with our ministry when we've been showing victim photography and video in the public square. And here's the revelation that God gave me a couple of days ago. As we look at the state of the nation, and you look at what's happening with Emperor Obama now, basically by a stroke of a pen, granting amnesty to illegals. Boy, I wish he'd do that for the preborn, or some president would. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Now, that'd be something to talk about. But we have this lawlessness in Washington, D.C., where we don't follow the Constitution anymore. We don't believe that the Bible has anything to do with civil government and so on and so forth. When we have in the National Cathedral in Washington, a Christian church, by the way, Muslim prayers being offered, we've gone off the rails. When we have a Muslim imam, a cleric, opening the House of Representatives in prayer to the name of Allah, we are blaspheming our Lord and Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are. Think about that. In our nation, we tolerate and allow religious liberty, which is, I'm glad we do. And we allow Muslims to do certain things, and I'm glad we do. But flip that around. When was the last time you saw a Muslim temple, a mosque in Saudi Arabia or anywhere else allow a Christian inside to pray? When was the last time you saw that? In fact, what we saw last week was Muslims going into a temple, Jewish temple in Jerusalem, and slaughtering people who are in there to pray. That's what we're up against, folks. The lawlessness is running rampant in America. It's unabated. And I believe that this whole movement of Muslims and all of what's happening around the world is a judgment against the Christian church for losing its saltiness. In many ways, we deserve what we're getting. So the world is coming unhinged. It's coming unglued. Our nation is lawless. We're running rampant with immorality and baby killing and all the rest of it. But in the midst of that, there is light. There is a message of Christ, the message of creation in the gospel, and that we're all made in God's image. And we do that. We take those very image bearers, the preborn, and we display them for the world to see. It's the best way to get the message across. And we went to the very place that the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights were penned, that is, Independence Hall. And right outside at Independence Mall, we set up our large screen television, Jumbotron, if you will. And we played abortion victim photos and video. And a local TV station and some of the reporters viewed the video and then, in a sense, it was like a focus group, began to unpack it. And I want to play this video. It'll be the audio, obviously, on the program, and share with you some of the reactions that people have. These aren't pro-life folks, by the way. These are supposedly neutral media folks. These are television reporters. I want to play this video clip, and then I'm going to comment about it. Here it is.
The abortion debate has been going on for well over 30 years, with both sides using various tactics to try to spread their message. So now a pro-life group, Created Equal, thinks that the best way to push their agenda is to actually show abortions on a video screen in public places. I warn you, it's really graphic, showing various stages of abortion, results of abortion, including aborted fetuses.
I have a dream that all men are created equal.
I mean, they're watching the video right now, folks.
Wow. Wow. Graphic.
You can't stop it.
Disturbing. Difficult. That was as quiet as this room has ever been.
It's just, there's nothing to say. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
They've done this before. They take over the green with huge billboards with these type of images. And I'm not going to lie, I've seen those multiple times before. It makes you very uncomfortable. This video takes it to a whole new level with videos that you see. And, you know, this is just wrong.
So I was.
She's saying that the video, abortion is wrong. She's not saying the video is wrong.
There at Independence Mall in Philadelphia. This video was on a loop, on a big screen, in the middle of a tourist area. So I actually asked their national director, why was it necessary to show such a graphic video in public with children around?
Well, it's graphic because abortion's graphic. This is the most common medical procedure performed in the United States, yet most people don't know what it looks like. And there's a reason for that. Because we don't want to know.
The group did have signs up surrounding the area warning people that that video was playing. But even with the signs up, many of the parents who were there, particularly those who were there with children, thought that it was absolutely inappropriate for this to be playing in public.
To see that they are showing a film without permission, basically. I mean, and there's children.
Okay, stop. Permission. By the way, she's standing right in front of the Independence Hall. Here's where Americans just don't understand. The First Amendment, which we've forgotten all about, was penned by our founding fathers to protect offensive, disturbing, off-putting speech because popular speech needs no protection. So she's standing right in front of Independence Hall and is wondering how we got permission. Well, the people who were in that building over 200 years ago, they gave us permission. And really, before that, God gave us permission.
This is my little girl that I really wouldn't expose this to. I can't even imagine how this was allowed.
So again, it was allowed by our founders. And unfortunately, again, children will see these videos. We don't target daycares and elementaries. We try to warn children and parents that we're going to be doing this. But we live in a nation that butchers its children, that dismembers, decapitates, and disembowels children, 2,900 a day. That is the public policy of our nation. Therefore, the suffering needs to be made public.
Philadelphia was the first stop this time of this message, but the group Created Equal says that they plan to continue doing this throughout the region and the country in a lot of high traffic areas. And it continues the debate as to whether or not a graphic display of abortion is freedom of speech or is it inappropriate to have something like this playing in public.
What's interesting, like something like that, I mean, it's clearly jarring to watch that. And what I find interesting is that you get different reactions. Some people react just to the fact of the video, but others react to say, wow, that's something that's happening. It's a very powerful message, but sometimes free speech has an ugly side, and reality has an ugly side that some people
exactly
find
right.
Jarring. But look, that's why we have a First Amendment.
I agree with you about the cost of free speech, and sometimes we need to step over a line in order to find out where the line is. I think we just found out with that video. I think it's entirely inappropriate to be showing on a big screen. I've forbidden my 9-year-old from seeing horror movies that were a quarter as bad as that. It's inappropriate. It's shocking.
What the abortion process was going to be before doing it. So some women would benefit from having seen that video.
I think the bigger question, at least to me, the bigger question there is why didn't they? I mean, the information on having an abortion, again, as that woman said.
Exactly. Why didn't they see it? It's because there's a cover-up going on, folks. Let me say this before we close. We may never end abortion. I may never save another baby in my entire life. But they will know they did not die alone. You've been listening to the Mark Harrington Show. We'll be back next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to the Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.